Greeny with Mike Greenberg, the podcast.
Yes, it is. Greeny presented by Progressive Insurance. My guests on the Goodyear Hotline, the assembled members of the hashtag crew are here. We've had a lot of fun through our first hour, and it's only going to pick up from here. About a half hour from now, I'm opening up the phones to you for your hot takes, so be ready to call. I'll tell you when. Don't call now. I don't want you sitting on hold all morning long. We have a million things to get to. I've got Nuno's notes ready to go. More to say about the college stuff. Again, I just clicked on Manny Diaz's name on Twitter. I know people don't remember stuff because anything that happened more than 15 minutes ago. But I'm seeing all these tweets. Oh, poor Manny Diaz. Boy, they did him wrong at the U and all that stuff. And yeah, they did. But as Hembo just reminded you, this is the guy who left Temple 3 weeks after getting the job for the Miami job. Never even met with the players. So, like, this is just the way the world works. Like, college football is a cesspool. And so long as we accept that, then we're fine. Just enjoy the games for what they are. And the games this weekend were really good. In the meantime, I've got a question for you. Here we go. What's my question?
You ask these questions.
Greeny's question of the day.
Nuno, right now, Jets, Giants, Bears, Lions. Which one makes the playoffs first? Jets, Giants, Bears, Lions. Which one makes the playoffs first?
It's an easy one for me. Chicago does. I think they have the quarterback in place. I think they have enough talent on that roster or in the right spots. And I think with the right coach, that will be a quick turnaround.
Hembo, which of those four?
I would say, I mean, they're all positioned very unfavorably.
Just answer the question.
The Giants. The Giants would be actually my answer to that question. But with the two first-round picks, and they're the one team who's they're going to replace the GM this year, we think. And so they get a fresh start. Like, that's all I'm hanging my hat on. But, like, I don't trust anything the Jets are doing. The Bears, I think, are in worse shape than Nuno is describing. And the Lions never win anything. So, I mean, by default, I'm picking the Giants.
Bubba, which one of those four teams makes the playoffs next? Jets, Giants, Bears, Lions.
I am going to go with the Giants as well, assuming that they do correctly do the restart. There is a lot of potential to do a restart correctly. Then again, they probably won't do it correctly.
Isn't it ironic? The Jets and the Bears are two teams that made huge quarterback moves this offseason. Like, the Jets just took the future of their franchise, and no one even mentioned that. Like, the fact that the Jets took a guy who people were describing 6 months ago as some combination of Patrick Mahomes and Aaron Rodgers is unmentioned when we discuss their future. That's what they've done. Justin Fields is just a wild card now. I believe in him. I think if the draft were to be held over again right now, he would probably go second, either second or third. Lawrence would probably still go number one, and then either Fields or Mack would go in that order. By the way, I didn't mean to get sidetracked on this. Did you watch much of the San Francisco game yesterday?
Just a little bit.
What has happened to Trey Lance? They're running the read option. They're running RPOs with Jimmy Garoppolo. What the hell is going on? I mean, why wouldn't you put him in there to do that? I watched that game. It was a good game, actually. San Francisco-Seattle is a pretty good game. And, you know, red zone, you know, they go back to anything you want. They go back to whatever they want. Mm-hmm. But they'll put you in the red zone no matter what's happening. The game could be 56-2. And they're like, oh, there's a red zone app. Scott Hansen is I love him. But anyway, the point is, so that pick looks like it's gone sideways.
Yeah.
It's too soon to say, but that looks awful. They traded two first-round picks to go up to number three and took Trey Lance. And now they don't even seem to be willing to put him on the field to run the read pass, the run pass option. The Jets have made you forget. Like, Zach Wilson looked a little better yesterday, but it doesn't even feel like the storyline coming out of the game. They're such a complete embarrassment.
Can you see the Jets being good with Robert Saleh? Like, what would have to happen for you to say yes to that question?
No, nothing. It's an act of God. I mean, an act of God would have to take place. The Jets are hopeless. I mean, hopeless and lost.
Robert Saleh became famous by being, like, the most animated coach in NFL history on the sideline.
No.
And yesterday, he was wearing, like, Jets gear, like the beanie. Like,
oh, he was wearing, like, a hoodie.
Like,
he was dressed like my son.
Like, he had lost a bet, and someone made him wear Jets gear. It was so weird. Like, what happened to that guy?
Awful. I have no idea. But whatever it is, it's awful. Oh. I mean, so the right answer is either the Bears or the Giants, depending on whether you believe in Justin Fields or not. If you think Justin Fields is going to be a great quarterback, then the answer is the Bears. If you think he is not, then the answer is the Giants, because they at least are not saddled with something. And then the Lions. And I only put them in there because I love them. I love that coach. Did you see them yesterday? That team fights and plays. Can you imagine if one of the players on the other team was making fun of the coach of the Lions, what they would do, forget about what he would do. First of all, he would kick your behind. Second of all, his players would fight for him in the blink of an eye. Blink of an eye.
My favorite thing about the Lions all season, as a winless team until yesterday, they have been among the most entertaining and interesting teams the whole season. And not at one point did I hear anyone, either in the media or internally, talk anything about the draft next year, tanking, future quarterbacks, nothing. I love the way they played.
Me too. I love that coach. He could coach my team any day of the weekend. Frankly, I wish he would do it now. Greeny presented by Progressive Insurance. Pet protection comes free with auto collision coverage. Visit progressive.com. Meanwhile, what's going on, Nuno?
Not much, Greeny.
Nuno is a unique personality.
There's just that je ne sais quoi.
He puts notes on all of the games into the Google Doc for me.
I'm definitely a savant.
And I like it. I just enjoy it.
Nuno's Notes.
Sure. Let's do it.
Here we go with Nuno's Notes for today. Just I'll cherry pick a couple of things that he wrote in the Google Doc for us as we led into today. Of the Dolphins and the Giants, Nuno, you wrote, "I thought they fired Jason Garrett." You are very down on the Giants' offense and their offensive philosophy, are you not?
I am. Because, you know, the worst part about this, Greeny, and, like, we do this for a living, so we could be doing a lot of things that are worse than this. But I want to actually enjoy my Sunday, and I can't with this team. Even if I am sitting there and watching other games and amazed at Justin Herbert, and then I remember that Justin Herbert decided to go back to school instead of coming out where the Giants really wanted to draft him, you know, or Joe Burrow, and it just, you watch that, and you're just like, why? Why am I rooting for this team? Why am I invested?
It does. Tell me again how many total yards of offense they had. The Giants had no touchdowns, and they set offensive football back
they had
50 years.
9 points for 250 yards.
250 yards.
At one point in time, I think Saquon had 5 catches for like minus 3 yards.
They did. I mean, it was unwatchable. It was astonishingly unwatchable. And after the game, the coach said,
"I saw a lot of players make a lot of big plays, and that's what we got to do."
You did? What game were you watching? In which game did you see that? What players made big plays? Saquon Barkley finished with 11 carries for 55 yards. Devin Booker finished with 6 carries for 36 yards. Evan Ingram finished with 4 receptions for 61 yards and was your leading receiver yesterday in so doing. Mike Glennon's numbers, where are they here? Mike Glennon finished with 187 passing yards, 0 touchdowns, 1 interception, and a QBR of 18.6.
Stop disparaging. They had 750 feet of offense. You're getting them 2 out of time.
700.
They're measuring their
50 feet of offense.
I saw a lot of players make a lot of big plays.
Oh, my God.
No, they had one play that went for more than 20 yards, which is the definition of a big play.
The next game that Nuno put in his notes, Cardinals over the Bears. With Fields hurt, this is turning into a wasted year for him and this organization. There's no way to argue with that. That's obviously right. This is just a year that you hope doesn't hold him back, right? They've clearly not moved. If life is about, that's another team that was built to win now. They tried to win now.
Yeah.
And the only way you bring back a coach and a GM as lame ducks is because you believe they're going to win now. And so clearly, if you sort of view all this as like, being like on a checkerboard, they did not advance one square.
Oh, for sure.
Right? They did not advance.
For sure.
The only question is, did they retreat? Like, did this year and the horrible dysfunction of it and the total ineptitude, did it somehow diminish Justin Fields? Here's what I'll tell you I know about Justin Fields, knowing him a little bit and knowing around the people around him at Ohio State. That is a tough-minded kid. Like, that's a kid who last year, you might remember, when the Big Ten decided they weren't going to play football, Justin Fields, who would have been the second pick in the draft if his team didn't play a snap last year. If his team didn't play a snap that year, he would have been the second pick in the draft. Trevor Lawrence would have gone 1 and Justin Fields would have
That's
gone
right.
2. And he was the leader of the let us play movement. So that is a tough kid. So I think he'll be fine mentally. But no one can overcome terrible coaching and all of that stuff. So he needs the right people in place around him to have some chance to get that done. The Eagles and the Jets, he writes, quarterback controversy in Philly, Hembo? You know, Gardner Minshew. Now, here's what I will say. You could put any quarterback out there against the Jet defense right now, and he'd look outstanding. So I have no idea what to make of that. But for whatever it's worth, like, Minshew looked good. Would they give any thought to letting him get one more start instead of Jalen Hurts?
If the Eagles played next week, I could imagine a scenario in which they'd say, Jalen's not quite 100%. We'll give Gardner the ball again. But the Eagles have a bye next week, and no one in the city is talking about the possibility that that might happen. But I do want to illustrate the point that you made about the Jets' defense, because I do think, literally, anyone would look great against them. The NFL's all-time leader, Greeny, in passer rating is Patrick Mahomes. His career passer rating is 105.
105, that's the all-time best.
What do you think the Jets right now, the Jets' defense, is allowing?
Well, what's the maximum?
Well, it's 158.3.
172.
Right now, the Jets' defense is allowing a passer rating of 108.8.
So what you're saying is that every week, the quarterback who is playing the Jets, on balance, plays better than the greatest quarterback of all time. Is that what you're saying?
That's exactly right.
What you're saying is if you are a starting quarterback and you face the Jets and you do not have a performance that is equivalent to the greatest quarterback ever, you stink.
That's what I'm saying.
You have underperformed.
108.8.
I've never seen it. Yeah.
It's impossible to believe.
I've never seen a team worse. I mean, I've never seen a defense worse. Like the quarterback took a small stride forward yesterday. I should have been in a good mood. But the defense was so bad, I couldn't do it. Like, it's so bad and so gutless and heartless and lifeless. It's embarrassing they should be embarrassed. I hope that they are.
Greeny, the podcast.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do, big, small. And when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had happen in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Greeny today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Greeny, GREENY.
Mostly NFL today, but some interesting stuff on the college. And Hembo told me something this morning that I will admit surprised me and I think is fascinating. And so I will let him share it, but this is what I said when I told you, you're going to hear something about college football that you were not expecting to hear. Hembo, what is it?
There is a site called BCS Know-How, and what they do is essentially retroactively run the BCS model every single week still, even though it's no longer active.
So all of the ways that the BCS would have gone about choosing teams and ranking teams and everything else they did, you can still do. Nothing has changed.
Nothing has changed.
Because it doesn't take into account what any of these people on the committee think. So all the data that was there then remains now. So there have been, how many teams have ultimately made the college football playoff? Going back to its inception, since we got rid of the BCS.
Back to the beginning, 32 teams.
As of this Saturday, or I guess yesterday, excuse me, there are 32 teams that have made the playoff. If you had just not had a committee and just ranked them using the exact same formula that the BCS used, Brandon, I'm looking at you. Nuno, I'm going to ask you, and did you already read this or do you know the answer? How many of the 32 would have made the playoff if they had just done it by the BCS? What's your guess? What number out of 32?
26.
26 out of 32. Bubba, how many do you think? How many out of 32?
29.
29. Brandon, yell out an answer. How many? 22. 22. Hembo, the correct answer is?
32.
All 32. If they had just done it exactly the way they always did it, the BCS formula would have spit out the same four teams every single year. Every year. This is the eighth year of the playoff. 32 teams have made it. The same exact 32 teams would have made it if they had stayed with the BCS. I don't know what to say about that. Like, I don't know what to make of it. When you told it to me this morning, I said to you, triple check that. Because it doesn't sound right. For the exact reason that all these guys didn't guess it, because it just doesn't sound right.
It doesn't sound right.
But all 32 teams would have made it.
And even in four of the 8 years, the exact same order as well. There are four instances in which one team was flip-flopped in one sort of in seed line, I guess I'd call it. But there are 4 years, including this one, in which the BCS spit out the exact four teams in the exact same order.
That fascinates me. And again, I'm just going to leave it there because it is information that unless you, what should I make of that? Like, what should I say about it?
Well, I suppose you could say that the problem here wasn't the BCS, it was the two-team format. But if they had just run this thing with the BCS and added two teams, the whole world looks the same, except we had a lot less to talk about during the week.
Right. But my point is, I can't then rail against the subjective nature of the committee when they have picked the right four teams every time.
Sure. Well, have you had many objections at the end, though? Like, most of the quarrels that we have at the committee are their inconsistencies during the year.
I wonder if they know this. Like, I wonder if one of the things that privately they share with each other is, by the way, if it had been done by the BCS, it would have been this.
It seems unlikely to me that I have access to this data and they don't.
Oh, they, of course, certainly have access to it. The question is whether it actually applies to their discussion.
That I don't know.
Like,
that's,
they have all these data points, and one of them is not, here's the old BCS formula. Log on to bcsknowhow.com.
All this time, that's what they've been doing?
You know, exactly. That's it. All this time. Reese, here's what happened. Someone got me a login to, I got a password, and we remembered our Ty Willingham had the password to get us into bcsknowhow.com, and as a consequence, we just read what they do, and we do the same thing. And then we come on, and we let you guys argue about it. Like, you know, it's hilarious if you really think about it. All right, Greeny with you, where all our guests here on ESPN Radio join us on the Goodyear Hotline, making the plays that move you forward. Goodyear, more driven. Bama is a 13.5-point favorite over Cincinnati. Michigan is a 7.5-point dog against Georgia. Now, it's not too early to bet these games, right? Because they're going to move. These lines will move one way or the other. So if you right now were to lay down some money on these games, Hembo, Alabama minus 13.5 against Cincinnati, which way would you go?
I like Alabama minus 13.5. That's a line that's going to, I think that's going to rise here over the next few weeks. I actually looked this up this morning, Greeny, just because obviously the composition of the rosters here are very different. In the last recruiting cycle, the last 4 years, Alabama has landed 77 ESPN top 300 recruits. 77. Cincinnati has landed two. And so it doesn't take a rocket surgeon to figure out that there's pretty much no one on Cincinnati's roster that would be a regular contributor to Alabama. 13.5 to me feels a little light.
Hold on just 1 second.
What?
Something has to be said here. You just said you don't have to be a rocket surgeon. Now, let's be clear. The expression is either a brain surgeon or a rocket scientist. The expression is not a rocket surgeon.
Oh, no.
I don't know that that is a thing.
That's not a thing.
You just said a rocket surgeon.
So I made up a new position.
Right? You don't have to be a rocket scientist. Like, that's an expression, right? We've heard that.
That's what I meant to say.
You can say you don't need to be a brain surgeon, right? But you just said a rocket surgeon.
That's
so
it.
Let the record show you're not making the point you think you're making.
No, definitely not.
Yeah. So
surgery on a rocket.
Yeah.
Nice.
Now, I don't know. Do they call... they probably don't call the people who like do the maintenance on the. Can we get the rocket surges? Do you think Jeff Bezos right now is got a want ad up there? Like who? Michael Strahan is going in space next week. We need a rocket surgeon to make sure everything goes well here.
What are the qualifications for the position? What do you need to be proficient in?
I don't know. I guess you just fix the rocket whilst wearing a medical coat, like a lab. I don't know what
is
it
is. Better, is that a better or worse slip than if I had said brain scientist? Like, is that one
I think it's a much less bad slip. Okay. Brain scientist, I would have accused you of doing it on purpose.
Oh, no.
Rocket surgeon, I can see it kind of slipping off the tongue. Nuno, Alabama minus 13 and a half.
Give me Bama in the points.
Yeah, Bubba?
Say it again?
Bama. What are the chances that Bubba wasn't listening? Like, what are the chances that I could ask him an entirely different question right now and he'd have no idea what I was asking him the first time? Bama minus 13 and a half. Bubba says.
I'm going to go with Alabama.
Okay, yeah. Look, I mean, I think this game is – I'm surprised. If these two teams were playing each other during the regular season, what would the line be? Alabama would be favored by more than 14 points, wouldn't they?
I agree, and with a month to prepare, I can't believe Saban's only – 13 and a half seems really low.
I agree. And the loss of John Mechie is a bad loss for them, but it's not enough. Look, I hope I'm wrong. Look, Alabama kills everybody in this thing.
Yeah.
What I don't want to hear when Cincinnati gets rolled in this game is, oh, see, that's why you don't let the Power Five, you know, only you don't let the Group of Five or whatever they call them in here. Because they had annihilated Ohio State last year. They annihilated Notre Dame last year. They win these games by 30 points.
If among the 44 starters in this game, they're going to have the edge and at least 40 of the positions.
Yeah. It's just, and that's true practically no matter
yeah,
who they
too.
Play.
Greeny, the podcast.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
All right, the number is 888-SAY-ESPN. The phone lines are open for your hot takes, and Bubba has been busy. Bubs, who's first up?
Yeah, let's start with Jeff.
All right, Jeff, you're on the Dr. Pepper call-in line. Jeff, give me a hot take.
Hey, Greedy, I'm not going to talk about my team because I already told you they were going to win 9 straight games and run the table, but I do want to give some love. Better hope that Jalen Waddle is up there for Rookie of the Year and Jalen Phillips is up there for Defensive Rookie of the Year because they're both beasts. And I just want to say, can I give a little shout-out to my boys at Slattery's Midtown Pub? I want to give you guys a Jet little rhyme. Can I give you a little jingle for the Jets?
Go ahead.
You might not like it, but I'm going to give you a little jingle.
There's nothing about the Jets I do like, so go ahead.
All right, here we go. Thanks a lot, Green. All right, here we go. When you're a Jet all the way, from your first contract signed till they trade you away. When you're a Jet, you're led by a fan. His name is Ed, and he's an ex-fireman. Here come the Jets, they're coming to town. No need to worry, they're coached by a clown. J-E-T-S. Suck, suck, suck. Have a great week, Greedy.
You know, I mean, with the death of Stephen Sondheim of late, to do it directly out of West Side Story, there's an appropriate into it. By the way, Jalen Waddle, we all knew was going to be a great pro. Jalen Phillips was the biggest risk of the first round of the draft this past year. He's a defensive end pass rusher extraordinaire who had massive injury question marks coming out of college. We all knew if he was healthy, he was going to be great, and he has been healthy, and he has been great. Jeff, that's a good call. Thank you. Bubba, who's next?
Yeah, next up we have Cully.
Cully, you're on the Dr. Pepper call-in line. Give me a hot take.
So I just have to say that I've called before. Big Ben is back. Steelers are going to go 4-1 in their last 5. They're going to lose to Baltimore in Baltimore, and they're going to sneak into the playoffs. And then let's see what happens.
Let me look at the rest of the schedule here, Cully, because the Ravens have a brutal schedule the rest of the way. The Ravens, we talked about it on TV this morning. Their schedule, the Ravens, if they lose every one of the rest of their games, it wouldn't be stunning. I'm not predicting that's what's going to happen. Here's what the Steelers have. They've got at Minnesota Thursday night. Do they win that game?
They should. They should.
And the Vikings just, they find the most ridiculous. The Vikings are better than that. Like, the Vikings find ways to lose games that are so ridiculous, I don't even know what to say. They just lost to the Lions, obviously, on the last play of the game by not covering a receiver on fourth down. They lost that, you know, they've lost some terrible games this year.
Sure.
If the Steelers win that game, which I'm not convinced they will, they get Tennessee, who's banged up. They get at Kansas City. They finish with the Browns and Ravens. No. Pittsburgh's not going to win that division.
Not seeing it.
Cully, I love you, but they're not going to win that division. I don't know who is. I don't think it's going to be that. Who's going to win that division?
I still think it's going to be Baltimore. I still do.
Boy, they have a brutal schedule the rest of the way.
They'll find a way to. They always find a way to win those kind of ugly games. Like, they've played the game they played yesterday 5 times this year, and they usually win it.
All right, you get your chance to be a part of Greeny Nation on the Dr. Pepper call-in line, ESPN Nation, presented by Dr. Pepper. College football is heating up. Fans are hyped. Return to glory with Fansville by Dr. Pepper, the one fans deserve. Bubba, who's next?
Next up, we have Ryan.
Ryan, give me a hot take.
Hey, Greeny, my hot take is this. The reason we see teams not very good is there's just not enough good head coaches. Every year it's the same guys. Well, maybe Urban will take that job, or back a few years ago, maybe Bill Cowher will come out of the booth. The reason is there's great coordinators, and they go back and be coordinators and do well like Quinn is, but there's just not enough good head coaches to take on these jobs and to turn these franchises or college programs around.
It's a really good point. So let's just stick with the NFL for a second here. Are there 32 people currently walking the face of planet Earth who we think would be excellent NFL head coaches?
I'd say yes. There are 32, but many of them.
Why do so many of them not? Why are so many of them not NFL head coaches?
Because most of them probably never get the opportunity.
Why? Where are they right now?
Who knows? But I mean, think about the rigorous nature of
they're rocket surgeons.
Yeah, most of them are rocket surgeons. Like, think like all these different stops people have to take in order to get to these places. It's so much about like who you know and when you're there. Like it's a tough
many
spot.
People may not know this, but you know, Bubba at one time was a very highly touted defensive coach. He coached defensive backs, special teams, linebackers, and all that kind of stuff. And Bubba, you moved away from that just because you felt like, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but the opportunity to become a head coach just takes so long. There's so much politics in it and everything that you gave up on that dream, and maybe you would be one of these head coaches right now.
Yeah, I mean, it just takes forever. You see these guys are assistants for 15, 20 years, and they finally get their shot. I mean, what the Texans hired this David Culley guy. What is he, 87? I mean,
he's not 87.
That guy, I don't know. He's been coaching. He's been an assistant forever. But, I mean, yeah, is he a qualified great coach? I mean.
Let me say this. That team knows how to tank. You want to tank. Look, at the Texans are drawing up a blueprint. They got blown out by the Jets last week. They play the Colts yesterday. They don't try anything.
That was embarrassing.
They are not trying at all. They're paying $30-something million to a player not to play on their team.
Their best player.
They're by far their best player. You can't tank any better than the Houston Texans are tanking.
They're going to play at Jacksonville on the 19th in what might be the worst game you could ever
I think
watch.
They beat Jacksonville week one, didn't they?
They might be going back to Davis Mills, too.
The first game of the season they won, they looked a little bit promising.
They might be benching Tyrod Taylor. How does that work?
They turned the ball over twice in the first 6 minutes of that game yesterday. They did. God. They turned it over twice. Houston, Jacksonville, when you consider the draft picks, is that the last week of the season?
No. They play Jacksonville, and then the Chargers, Niners, and then the Titans. So that's 2 weeks from now, the 19th.
Boy, imagine how incentivized both of those teams are to lose that game. How much are you dying to lose that game if you're those teams? Let's do another one. Bubba, who's next?
Yeah, let's go to Ron.
All right, Ron, you're on ESPN Radio. Ron, give me a hot take.
Long-time high school football coach in South Florida. And to be a good head coach, you got to have fine, good assistants. But really talk about the expanding the playoff system. I don't see 8 worthy teams to get into the playoff system. What do you think?
To be clear, are you talking about the college system?
College system, yeah.
The college. Yeah, well, if they were, we actually did this in the office this morning. Hembo, give me the matchups. If there were 8 teams this year, and we were playing 1 versus 8, The first game would be Alabama Ole Miss, right?
That's right.
So that's a rematch. Those two teams played each other. Alabama killed them.
Yes, that was the Lane Kiffin get your popcorn ready game.
And what did Alabama win that game by? Like 100 points?
Yeah, like 3 touchdowns, yeah.
Yeah, they won that game huge. The next game, who would Michigan be playing?
Michigan would be playing Baylor in the 2-7 matchup.
A reasonably interesting game. Yeah, game. I would watch that.
Baylor looked great over the weekend.
Yeah, Baylor looked really good.
I'm into that game.
What would be the 3-6 game?
That would be Georgia and Ohio State.
It's a pretty good game.
Yeah. I mean, I want to see Ohio State. They could be among the – Ohio State's good enough to win the national championship, don't you think?
Sure. I mean, on any given Saturday.
Well, that's the inflection point, right? If there's – I think what the caller is saying is, are there 8 teams that are capable of winning it? And to me, Ohio State would qualify.
And then what would be 4 or 5? Cincinnati.
And Notre Dame.
Oh, and Notre Dame.
And we've seen that game already, too.
Yeah. So you'd get 2 rematches in the first round right away. And I don't know. Like, just beware. Because all these games, so the team that would have gotten left out is Oklahoma State.
Yeah, they were 9.
Right? They were a half a yard away from, in that case, being in the playoff. Maybe in this case, being in the playoff. If Oklahoma State wins that game, Nuno, if Oklahoma State gets that touchdown at the very end, do they put them in there ahead of Cincinnati, yes or no?
I want to say yes, because I just feel like they would fall back to, we're putting in the best 4 teams in the playoffs.
We will never know, right? We will never know, but it will be, I would have been fascinated to know. They couldn't jump Baylor up there. They couldn't do it.
I texted Heather Dinich this morning and asked her this question.
Okay.
If Oklahoma State had won, did you ask Gary Barta what they would have done? And she said, I did not ask him, but I can answer. She says she could answer. She says probably Cincy, because Oklahoma State didn't look top 4 for long enough. So that was her opinion. Obviously, it's a very informed opinion, but she says it would have been Cincinnati still.
Okay, I like that. Let's do another one here. Bubba, who we got?
Before we get to that, we have some news from Adam Schefter, who says, one day after their kicker missed 2 extra points,
the Jets
now are signing veteran kicker Eddie Pinheiro to their active roster, per Drew Rosenhaus. So we got a new kicker in town.
So we got Drew Rosenhaus telling us that Eddie Pinheiro will be the new kicker
that
of the Jets.
That could change fortunes.
Yeah, so you got Eddie in there.
I mean, only the Jets could change. All right.
But we got Sammy now.
All right, Sammy, you're on ESPN Radio. Sammy, give me a hot take.
All right, I need your honest opinion. I mean 100% honest.
Go.
Do you think Sean Payton has Taysom Hill as a quarterback on his fantasy team? And, you know, like, he picked him up as a sleeper pick, like, you know, in like the 10th or 12th round. And he's like, you never know when this guy get in the game.
I'm with you. I don't know. Look, Sean, every single day, forgets more about football than I'll ever know. So for me to question Sean Payton when it comes to understanding what makes a great offensive football player is obviously ludicrous. That said, I can see Taysom Hill is not an NFL quarterback. And Sean just continued. They've paid, how much money is he going to wind up making in his career?
Well, he's made
to be
40,
a gadget player,
he's,
to essentially be Tim Tebow?
He's made $40
million. He's made $40 million.
Unbelievable.
Tim Tebow was a better quarterback than Taysom Hill. Not even close.
Oh, by a long shot.
It's not even close. Yeah. Forget about, I'm not even talking about college. Tebow's one of the greatest college quarterbacks of all time. Tim Tebow couldn't get a sniff in the NFL. He was a much better quarterback than Taysom Hill.
Have you ever seen the movie Shallow Hal, by chance?
Yes.
That's the situation here. So, like,
everyone else sees one thing.
And Sean Payton sees Gwyneth Paltrow in Taysom Hill when everyone else sees something very different.
That movie is so stunningly inappropriate, by the way, for the day and age in which we live now.
Yes,
when
yes.
you think about that, the fact that movie got made, show that movie to a young person right now and just watch. If you showed that movie to my kids right now, they would never believe that was made as recently as it was.
No, that's what Disney should use in their HR videos.
Right.
Sure.
That movie should be 90 years old for what it is. You know, if you're a business owner, it can be tough to hire top talent. But when you post a job on ZipRecruiter, you get qualified candidates sent to you. Then you can easily invite your top choices to apply. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/GREENY now to try ZipRecruiter for free.
#KOD. The kiss of death.
All right. Some people are saying it's the biggest game of the year. It certainly is an interesting game. By virtue of Baltimore losing yesterday, New England is right now the number one seed in the AFC, right?
That's right.
And if Buffalo beats them, do they become the number one seed?
Yes, they do, don't they?
I think they
do. Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. They'll be Yeah, I mean, they would have the head-to-head, of course. They'd be improved to 8-4. Actually, I'd have to run that.
Okay. Well, one way or another.
There's a bunch of teams that are 8-4.
There's a lot at stake going on tonight when the Patriots travel to Buffalo. Now, the Patriots are unbeaten on the road this year. I'm trying to think, have they played a team on the road as good as Buffalo?
No.
They haven't played in a stadium like this. What's that? Who'd you say?
They beat the Chargers on the road.
They beat the Chargers. That's not a road game. See, the thing about going to play at the Chargers is just not. I mean, I don't even mean that jokingly. Like, that game unquestionably had more Patriot fans in the stands than it did Charger fans. That's the truth of almost every home game that the Chargers played. The Patriots, their road wins, I know they beat the Jets on the road.
They beat the Texans on the road.
They were terrible.
They won at Carolina.
They're terrible.
And they won at Atlanta.
By the way, how about Carolina firing the offensive coordinator who was like the toast of the town? Like, Joe Brady was like the hottest guy in the world, and yesterday Matt Rhule just woke up and fired him.
I thought he was someone
on the Sunday of their bye week.
Very bizarre. Like, that's someone who was like essentially a celebrity after they won the national championship at LSU. An interesting side note here with Mac Jones and the Patriots.
Yeah,
Mike Reese did this on Get Up last week. Mac Jones has never played in a game like this because last year, the environments, of course, in the COVID year in the SEC for Mac Jones, not nearly what they would be otherwise. And he's played no game like this so far. We just ran through all their away games. This will be the first game of its kind that Mac Jones has ever played.
Let me ask you a question. 2 years ago, was he or was he not Alabama's quarterback in the Iron Bowl at Auburn? I'm almost positive he was. It was after Tua got hurt.
Yeah, you're right.
This would be the 19th season. I'm remembering that game. Mm-hmm. And they lost. He did not play well.
I'm remembering that.
Yes, and it was. I remember watching that game and thinking, if Tua's playing in this game, Alabama wins. And they lose at Auburn in the Iron Bowl. And there is no more insane environment than that.
You're right.
Am I getting that right?
Yeah, you are.
I'm remembering the game. What was the final score of that game?
Stand by. That was the end of the 2019 season, right?
Yeah. It was the last. It was last week of 2 years ago.
Alabama won. Auburn won 48-45.
48-45. And if I remember correctly, did he throw a couple interceptions?
No.
What did he do in that game?
You're right. He threw four touchdowns, and he did throw two interceptions.
Yeah.
335. He played pretty well.
Yeah, I'm remembering the game. But so he's played
good
big
call.
Games.
That's a good pull.
He's played big games. You're right. The environment is what it is. Mm-hmm. What is the number tonight?
The number is Buffalo -3 at home. Vegas says effectively this is a coin flip.
And is all the money going one way or the other?
It is an exact 50-50 split. 50-50.
Really?
50 on the nose.
All right. So my KOD pick is presented by Progressive Insurance. You can save big when you bundle your auto, home, motorcycle, RV, or boat. Visit progressive.com. What's the number again?
Buffalo -3.
What do you think? I am so torn on this game. I think I'm going to go with my gut, which says I'm not betting against Belichick. I'm not doing it. I will take the Patriots plus the 3.5. I think they're going to win the game tonight. One way or another, you'll see it on ESPN, and we'll see you tomorrow back here on ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to Greeny the Podcast. You can listen live each weekday morning at 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio and see it with the video on ESPN Plus. Also catch Greeny on Get Up weekday mornings at 8 on ESPN and also available wherever you get your podcast.